From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We're delighted that you've decided to join us today. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In recent weeks, Dr. Cairns has been bringing a series of studies in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The message for this week is taken from the concluding verses of Matthew chapter 14. Although this passage is frequently overlooked by commentators, it gives a heartwarming picture of the compassion of the Savior for those in need. We read that He healed all who came to Him, and this healing was not just of their bodies, but of their souls as well. Before coming to the passage at hand, Dr. Cairns returns to the theme of the Protestant Reformation for his hot topic of the day, in keeping with this Reformation Month emphasis. Protestant Christians believe in communion, not cannibalism.
Just before He went to the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, a sacrament that commemorates His once-for-all sacrifice to atone for the sins of His people. He made bread and wine, the simple symbols of His body and blood, and commanded His disciples to eat and drink in remembrance of Him. In its scriptural simplicity, the Lord's Supper is a thing of beauty. It is an eloquent reminder of the sacrifice that our Savior made to redeem us to God, of the depths of the humiliation and suffering He endured in making that sacrifice, and of our total reliance by faith on what He accomplished for us by His death. It's hard to see how any system that claims to be Christian could pervert the simple beauty of this feast of remembrance into a never-ending sacrifice for sins. But that's just what the Church of Rome has done. In Romanism, the Lord's table has been converted into an altar, and the Lord's Supper has been replaced by the sacrifice of the Mass. The Mass is the central element in Rome's ritualistic system of worship. In Roman dogma, the Mass is distinct from the people's participation in Holy Communion. The theory is that in the Mass, the bread and the wine are transubstantiated into the actual body and blood of Christ, which the priest then offers to God as a true, proper, and propitiatory sacrifice for the living and the dead. The Second Vatican Council calls it the most sacred mystery of the Eucharist, and the Eucharistic sacrifice of His body and blood. And it makes the utterly false statement that Christ instituted this sacrifice, quotes, to perpetuate the sacrifice of His cross throughout the centuries until He should come. According to Rome, in the Mass, the bread and wine are, quotes, really and substantially converted into the body and blood together with the soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, the Second Vatican Council speaks of Christ being consumed. According to Rome, in the sacrifice of the Mass, Christ is actually sacrificed, immolated, burned up as a victim, is their chosen word, and He is actually eaten. Rome's idea of Holy Communion is, in reality, a form of cannibalism, the eating of Christ's actual human flesh and the drinking of His actual human blood. Of course, it is all pure invention. The Bible teaches no such thing, as the Protestant reformers powerfully pointed out. Many of them gave their lives rather than accept the blasphemy of the Mass. For the Mass is just that, a blasphemy. The 39 Articles of Episcopalian Churches condemn Masses as, quotes, blasphemous fables and dangerous deceits. And the Westminster Confession of Faith, the substandards of the Presbyterian churches and the basis for the Congregationalist and Baptist confessions, says the popish sacrifice of the Mass, as they call it, is most abominably injurious to Christ's one only sacrifice, the alone propitiation for all the sins of the elect. Such criticism is solidly scriptural. Peter says that Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree. In Hebrews 10 verse 12, Paul says that Christ offered, quotes, one sacrifice for sins forever. For Rome to pervert this one finished sacrifice into an endless stream of sacrifices is as wicked a departure from Bible Christianity as you can imagine. As a Protestant, rather as a Christian, I pin all my hopes for eternity on Christ's all-sufficient and unrepeatable sacrifice. I repudiate the Mass as iniquity, not mystery, as a corruption of divine truth, as cannibalism, not Christianity, and as blasphemy, not a blessing. Thank God, through the Reformation, he delivered us from the Mass.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, the emails, the phone calls that we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart with His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the Let the Bible Speak audio magazine, This is in CD or cassette form and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing some of the articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a copy of Let the Bible Speak audio magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word, radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Virtue enough in the Lord Jesus Christ to meet every need of every sin-sick sinner. His works demonstrate this. Not only so, the men of Gennesaret proved it for themselves. Think of what we have read. It doesn't take much imagination to picture the scene. They came rushing out straightway, Mark tells us. No doubt they brought with them their lepers. They brought with them their paralytics, their blind, their deaf, their dumb, men whose very bodies were drenched with the streaming pus of the open sores of corruption. They brought them all. And the glorious truth is, He healed every last one of them. You see, He had the virtue. He had the power. He had the needed grace and ability. And thank God, I can tell the world today, He has virtue aplenty to do for souls what He did for bodies. There's plenty, fullness indeed, of virtue in Jesus Christ. In Him, there is the virtue of His unique person. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ towers over the history of the world as a mighty colossus. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ stands apart from every other person who ever lived in this old world. In a total and complete separation, though He is truly man and bone of our bone, yet His person is so completely different in His moral purity, in His personal perfection, as to have no one, not Moses, not Abraham, not even Joseph, against whom we read of God making no accusation. Not Peter, James, John, Paul, or the whole lot of them put together. None of them can compare to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason for that is that the basis of the person of Christ is His eternal deity. The Lord Jesus Christ is not merely a Son of God in the sense that angels are sons of God. He is not a Son by appointment. He is not a Son by creation. He is not God's Son by God's decree. He is God's Son by eternal essence and necessity. God the Son. God did not choose to be a Trinity. God essentially, necessarily, changelessly and eternally is a Holy Trinity. Jesus Christ is eternal God, co-equal, co-eternal with the Father and the Spirit, possessed of all the perfections of eternal deity, the infinite wisdom, love, and power of God are in Him because they are His divine perfections, and in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Oh, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is a problem of man insoluble to the wisdom of God? Is the need of man deeper than the omnipotence of his God? Thank God, there is no need even to consider the possibility. Our Savior has as the basis of his person his eternal deity. But let me say very humbly, very reverently, that eternal deity could not do what Jesus did for the bodies and souls of men without the miracle of the Incarnation. When God stepped into history, when, to use the words of John chapter 1, the Word was made flesh, to use Paul's term in 1 Timothy 3:16, when God was manifested in the flesh, when God took a true human nature, body and soul, into a personal and unbreakable union with Himself, so that the person of Jesus Christ is God, and yet He is man, without confusion of natures, two natures, in one perfect, indivisible person for all eternity. God is able to save and to atone because God became incarnate. Oh, I want you to see the person that stands before you this morning. It's not a puny little preacher. I want you to look beyond the pulpit and see the Savior. There's virtue enough in Jesus Christ to meet you where you are today, with all the need of your heart, known to man or unknown to man, with all the depths of the needs of your soul, let me tell you, there stands one before you who is God manifested in the flesh for the very purpose of meeting those needs, delivering those souls. Oh, there's virtue enough in Him. Not only is He perfect God and perfect man, therefore the unique person, but in Him is the virtue of a life of absolute perfect obedience to God's law and God's command. Theologians call this the active obedience of Christ. I understand what they mean. It's not happy terminology in some ways, but it will do for the moment. The idea is that throughout His life, the Lord Jesus Christ was not just a victim. We speak of Him as the victim led to Calvary when He stretched out on the cross as the Lamb of God. But the idea in active obedience is the Lord Jesus was not just a victim. He was the willing, yea, indeed. If I could use the word, He was the eager obeyer of God's law. Now remember this. I don't want to get too theological, but I want you must understand. I said these things are obvious, but the trouble is, preachers have given up preaching the obvious, that the obvious is now unknown. Remember this, when God created our first parents, He set them under a covenant of works. And according to that covenant, if they obeyed, they would live. The word live has in it all the blessings of God, all the fullness, all the virtue of His favor, all the mighty provision of His hand. If you obey, you live. That was the covenant of works. And of course, our first parents shattered it in the garden. The Lord Jesus Christ comes as the second man, as the last Adam. Now, understand this. You and I, if we are saved, we are under the covenant of grace. We're not under a covenant of works to do this and you live. But we have only a covenant of grace because Jesus Christ, the last Adam, placed Himself strictly, joyfully under a covenant of works. Our salvation has to be earned. Our salvation has to be worked for. And if we can't work for it as we can't, thank God He worked for it. Man, what a work He did. What a work He did. God's promise in the covenant of works is perfect holiness will merit perfect blessing. Thank God our Savior provided a perfect holiness, a perfect righteousness, a perfect obedience, a total compliance. There was nothing in His mind to which God could take exception. There was not the slightest shadow of the hint of a suggestion of even a desire to depart from perfect obedience in His mind and His heart, as well as in His words and in His actions. There is virtue in the obedience of Christ. Thank God that obedience led Him all the way to the cross. It could not be perfect obedience or complete obedience unless it led to Calvary, where having lived the perfect life, He laid that life down in one complete sacrifice for sins, one unrepeatable sacrifice for sins. One sacrifice that God received then and forever. And so perfect is that sacrifice that not only does it not need repetition on the earth, but when you read the description of it, as the blood is in heaven, It is ever fresh. John describes him as the Lamb freshly slain. Oh, years have gone by, but as far as God is concerned, that blood is as fresh. That blood is as efficacious. That blood is as powerful and virtuous today as the moment it was presented at his throne. Thank God this morning there is virtue enough in the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.